You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. New Bedford's codfather, Carlos Rafael, has been convicted of, among other things, mislabeling hundreds of thousands of pounds of cod as less valuable fish. How could he get away with that? Well, for one, only 16% of groundfish boats in New England have government observers on board. On the West Coast, all boats carry observers, but the cost of taking those extra people to sea has been at the heart of a rancorous debate between regulators and fishermen. Well, the Nature Conservancy is attempting to short-circuit that debate. They're testing video monitoring systems on about 20 boats, and they've launched a competition to develop facial recognition algorithms that would let computers review video footage and catalog the fish that have been caught and those that have been thrown overboard. Joining me now to talk about this project is Chris McGuire. He's Marine Programs Director for Nature Conservancy in Massachusetts. Chris, good to talk with you.
Hi, Heather. Great to be here.
All right. So describe these video monitoring systems. It's more than one camera, right? Where are they on the boat and how do they actually get the footage of the fish?
Yeah. So the idea is that they want to capture video of all of the fishing activity. So there are no monitors in the wheelhouse and in people's bunks and stuff. You want to see where the fish are. Typical systems have 3 to 4 cameras. They're all connected to a central small computer that has a hard drive. And in the wheelhouse, there's a monitor so the captain can see the view on each of the cameras and know whether the lens is covered in fish guts or something else.
Always a possibility, I suppose.
It turns out that the captains actually really appreciate being able to have that video feed of the back deck because when they're operating the ship, they can't always see that. And it's actually really helpful for them. I mean, that's not why they have the system, but it's turned out to be an interesting bonus.
How much does having this video monitoring in place change the workflow on the back deck? I mean, they have to pick every fish up and show it to a camera, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the way it works is we're really focused on identifying and measuring discards. It's a little bit less on the kept catch. And the reason is that when fish are kept, they're landed and sold, and the dealers have really good records about the fish that are sold. That's where the money changes hands. And so we're less focused on that and more focused on the discards. And so there are discards for a variety of different reasons, mostly because fish have a minimum size, and the idea is to try not to catch fish before they have the opportunity to breed. And so even though the gear is set up to try and reduce the number of discards, the gear isn't really perfect, and so there still are some discards. Most boats actually have a really small percentage of discards. It's, 5 to 8% of catch is discards. So you're not talking about a huge amount of fish in most cases. And so what participating fishermen do is they sort the catch into the things that they're going to sell and the things they're going to discard. And then one at a time, they have a measuring strip, which is just like a big white plastic board with centimeter markings on it. And one of the crew members just sets each fish on the measuring strip for, half a second and slides it over the rail. So it's pretty quick. I mean, we figure that in most cases, it takes the crew something like an extra 30 minutes per tow for a trawler to participate in the electronic monitoring program. And that's not like 30 minutes that's 30 minutes while they're doing the next tow. So it's not like they're coming home 2 hours later. They're just sorting that, doing their catch sorting and then adding this on top.
I mean, time is money, but a half an hour over the course of several trawls on a given trip is presumably cheaper than the several hundred dollars it would take to have an observer on board for a day?
Right, that's the idea. So, I mean, it's like half an hour a tow. So let's say an average boat does 4 tows in a day trip. So, you're talking a couple hours of extra processing time, but you balance that against the cost of paying for an at-sea monitor, and that cost is somewhere around $600 a day. What I usually say is, because of the regulatory system that we're in, these fish are going to get measured anyway. And the question is, do you want to pay an outside observer to do that, or do you want to have your crew help facilitate that on the vessel?
I'm talking with Chris McGuire, the Marine Programs Director for the Nature Conservancy in Massachusetts, about efforts to create electronic monitoring of fisheries and specifically facial recognition that would have computers do the video interpretation. So, Chris, can a computer really, from however high up it's mounted on the boat, tell I don't know, a cod from a haddock? That seems like a pretty big ask for a computer algorithm.
Yeah. So what happens now is, you know, I mentioned there are a couple different cameras. One camera is set up to be as close to directly overhead of the measuring station where each fish is individually set there for its half a second. So right now what happens is that one of the fisheries observers who sometimes goes to sea gets hired by our contractor to watch these videos. And so a person is able to identify the species of the fish and take a measurement of that fish based on the camera footage pretty easily. It's pretty high resolution. I mean, you're talking like HD camera shooting at 15 frames a second, looking straight down on a white surface with a fish on it. It's pretty easy to tell the difference. What we're doing with the computer vision is it's pretty extraordinary. I'm not a computer science guy, but I've learned a lot about it in the past few months. And it turns out that the algorithms to manage this, whether it's facial recognition or fish recognition, the algorithm part is actually the easy part. The hardest part about the process is developing the training data. So the way this works, the training data is sort of like the gasoline of machine learning. And so if you want to teach a computer to identify a cat, the first thing you do is you show it 10,000 pictures of a cat, of different cats, you know, from different angles. And that's the number that you're trying to get at. So in order to start this process, we needed to try and get thousands of pictures of each of the species that we might see in order to feed that into a competition environment to be used for training data.
Well, I mean, you've been testing electronic monitoring and you have a bunch of this video footage. You didn't have enough pictures in that footage to train the algorithm?
Yeah, well, so we had a lot. It turns out that, you know, really you want to get to stills. And when the video reviewers are reviewing the footage, they, you know, they stop the video and they kind of mark it and say, this is a cod and it's, you know, 24 centimeters or whatever. But they weren't doing that with machine learning in mind. And so we actually had to go through and reanalyze the video and find the exact frame that has the best view of each of those fish and create this training data set, which is a pretty big project. And we're looking at ways of trying to create that training data by working with survey vessels and other vessels and refining the way we do the catch monitoring now to try and create that data on the fly. But so what we've asked competitors to do in this competition, which we're running right now, that it's called, there's an organization called Driven Data, and they basically are they do data science for social impact. And so they host this competition. I think there are like 420 competitors who are logged into the system right now.
That's a lot of interest.
Yeah. And so, you know, they have access to a couple hundred gigs of video, several thousand annotated images. And we've asked them to count the number of fish in each video, measure the length of each fish, and tell the species of those fish based on the training data. And I think that we don't really expect to jump from all human review to all computer review in one step. You know, I think this is a stepwise process where you make incremental gains, but even getting the computer to be able to count and measure the fish would be a huge time saver. And then ID is sort of like the next thing. And I think some fish are going to be pretty easy and some will be a little more challenging.
My guest is Chris McGuire of the Nature Conservancy. We're talking about that organization's efforts to create electronic monitoring of our fisheries here in New England. Is the goal eventually, if this testing, both of the video monitoring and then the development of this facial recognition, essentially to pair with that, is the end goal that we'd have 100% coverage, that all boats would have this kind of system on board?
Well, most of the reason that our participants are involved, we have volunteers who are basically agreeing to have 100% of their trips observed, where their competitors in a business environment only have 16%. You know, the reason the fishermen participate is they're really interested in validating their observations at sea, which sometimes are kind of dismissed as anecdotal in the management process. And there's a little bit of a disconnect right now where, you know, fishermen sort of see one thing on the water and, you know, and the stock assessments sometimes say another thing. And so this is an opportunity to really improve the validity of the fisheries-dependent data, which is one component of the stock assessment process. You know, as to what the end goal is to just improve this information. I think that the future is going to be a blend where there will be some vessels that it might make more sense to use a human observer and other vessels where a camera works really well. You know, we're basically trying to provide an opportunity to improve the information, hopefully for dramatically less money.
Chris McGuire is the Marine Programs Director for the Nature Conservancy in Massachusetts. Chris, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Up next, how bacteria and viruses could help us fight, well, bacteria and viruses. That's when Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.